ditch. I'd rather anything than stay buried alive here all my born days with a mess of women in a perishing old desert where nobody ever comes. But there's no good wishing about it because I've been consecrated now and I'm stuck with it. Oh, but I do hope that in my next life I'm a dancing girl in Awabath, because I will have earned it. Arha looked down at her with a dark, steady gaze. She did not understand. She felt that she had never seen Penthi before, never looked at her and seen her, round and full of life and juice as one of her golden apples, beautiful to see. "Doesn't the temple mean anything to you?" she asked rather harshly. Penthi, always submissive and easily bullied, did not take alarm this time. "Oh, I know your masters are very important to you," she said with an indifference that shocked Arha. "Well, that makes some sense, anyhow, because you're their one special servant. You weren't just consecrated, you were specially born. But look at me. Am I supposed to feel so much awe and so on about the God King? After all, he's just a man, even if he does live in Awabath in a palace 10 miles around with gold roofs. He's about 50 years old, and he's bald. You can see in all the statues. And I'll bet you he has to cut his toenails just like any other man. I know perfectly well that he's a god, too. But what I think is, he'll be much godlier after he's dead." Arha agreed with Penthi, for secretly she had come to consider the self-styled divine emperors of Kargad as upstarts, false gods trying to filch the worship due to the true and everlasting powers. But there was something underneath Penthi's words with which she didn't agree, something wholly new to her, frightening to her. She had not realized how very different people were, how differently they saw life. She felt as if she had looked up and suddenly seen a whole new planet, hanging huge and populous right outside the window. An entirely strange world, one in which gods did not matter. She was scared by the solidity of Penthi's unfaith. Scared, she struck out. "That's true. My masters have been dead a long, long time, and they were never men. Do you know, Penthi, I could call you into the service of the tombs." She spoke pleasantly, as if offering her friend a better choice. The pink went right out of Penthi's cheeks. "Yes," she said. "You could, but I'm not the sort that would be good at that."
"Why?"
"I am afraid of the dark," Penthi said in a low voice. Arha made a little sound of scorn, but she was pleased. She had made her point. Penthi might disbelieve in the gods, but she feared the unnameable powers of the dark, as did every mortal soul. "I wouldn't do that unless you wanted to, you know," Arha said. A long silence fell between them. "Ah, you're getting to be more and more like Thar," Penthi said in her soft, dreamy way. "Thank goodness you're not getting like Kossil. But you're so strong. Oh, I wish I were strong. I just like eating." "Go ahead," Arha said, superior and amused, and Penthi slowly consumed a third apple down to the seeds. The demands of the endless ritual of the place brought Arha out of her privacy a couple of days later. Twin kids had been born out of season to a she-goat. and were to be sacrificed to the twin god-brothers, as the custom was, an important rite, at which the first priestess must be present. Then it was dark of the moon, and the ceremonies of the darkness must be performed before the empty throne. Arha breathed in the drugging fumes of herbs, burning in broad trays of bronze before the throne, and danced, solitary and black. She danced for the unseen spirits of the dead and the unborn, and as she danced, the spirits crowded the air around her, following the turn and spin of her feet and the slow, sure gestures of her arms. She sang the songs whose words no man understood, which she had learned syllable by syllable long ago from Thar. A choir of priestesses hidden in the dusk behind the great double row of columns echoed the strange words after her, and the air in the vast, ruinous room hummed with voices, as if the crowding spirits repeated the chants again and again.